It was a precious thing. The father was in preparing to go to work and had finished taking his shower and had wrapped his towel around him and was standing before the very steamy mirror in the bathroom. The heaviness of the damp air was still in there, and all of a sudden a little knock came at the door. "Yes?
Daddy, can I come in?"
Yes, son, come on in. And the four-year-old boy comes in and proceeds to sit down on the edge of the tub and watch his father as he takes his razor blade and puts the shaving cream on his face and starts to shave himself. And the child is sitting there just enamored with what his father is doing. And he says, "Daddy, when I grow older, will I have to do that too?" And the father stops shaving for a minute, because otherwise he'd like nick his face all over. And he said, "Yes, son, someday you too will have this hair that grows on your face that you'll have to maintain. And although you can choose to wear it in all sorts of different ways, like you could be like the pastor and have this stupid mustache beard thing going on, or you could have sideburns like Elvis. You can choose to do whatever you want, but yes, you'll probably have to maintain your face with a razor blade like I'm doing." And he says, "Well, Daddy, can you teach me how to do that now?" And he goes, "Son, not till you're a little bit older." He says, "Right now," he says, "just watch me and learn." And so the little boy just folded up his hands, and the father went back to grooming his face with his razor blade. There are transitions that happen throughout life. And as that little four-year-old boy became older, he couldn't wait until that first day when he'd be able to proudly go in and put some shaving cream. And so at the ripe old age of 10, he stands in there next to his father and puts shaving cream on, and his dad just kind of acknowledging the fact that his son wanted to mimic him, gave him a razor blade with a cover on it still. Because it was real easy to do back then. That's when razor blades came with those clear covers. Now, who was the idiot that ever thought of that? I'm shaving and nothing's coming off. All the shaving cream's going off, and I go, oh, there's something on the razor blades. But he gladly handed his son a razor blade with a cover on it, and his 10-year-old son sat there shaving his face. Transitions. We all go through them. In fact, that's what I'd like you to think about today as you take out your outlines and follow with me the fact that this is the main thought that I want you to go away with today. It's under the word thought. Physical transition happens throughout life. So too, God desires us to make spiritual transitions. Most of us would agree that we have gone through some physical transitions. Amen? You were born and you were totally reliant on others to take care of you, to feed you, to bathe you, to take care of your every need. And then as we get older, we revert back to those very same traits. But in between, there are these different stages that we go through in life. And physically, we can't say, "No,
I don't want to do that. I don't want to get bigger. I don't want to mature. And some of you have not. We can all grow old. We can choose whether or not we will mature. Just saying. Aren't you glad I've had some time off? Our scripture verse this morning is from the book of Mark, chapter 10. And we're going to go through verses 17 to 31, and I know that this is a large chunk of scripture, but go through it, we will. And I will pull it down into a succinct little marble that we can all walk away with. Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 31. As Jesus started on his way, and he is on his way back to Jerusalem, a man ran up to him, fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus, seeing a man kneeling before him, says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." I'll explain that later, why Jesus responded that way. "You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these things I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to the disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Peter said to him, "We have left everything to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus replied. "No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them, persecutions." What? Why do you got to throw that in, Jesus? You know, the brothers, sisters, and children, fields, wow, those are all blessings, but persecutions? You have to throw that in? There's going to be some bad news about following you? And Jesus continues and he says, "And in the age to come, eternal life, but many who are first will be last, and the last first." So again, I apologize. I know that there's a lot of passages that we just went through, and there are a lot of things that I can preach out of this passage, but today I want to talk to you about transitions. About transitions. Again, physical transitions happen all throughout life. God desires for us to make a spiritual transition. 1 Corinthians 13:11 on your outline. Would you read that with me, please? "When I was a child, I used to speak as a child, think as a child, and reason as a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things." You see, this verse in Corinthians is also talking about the transition that we must make, and that becoming a man means becoming a man or a woman of God. a follower of his. Okay? It's not necessarily that I can go up and shave now, but rather it's about I have made the adult decision to follow after God. Because that is a very grown-up decision. Now, let me give you a definition for transitions. It's on your outline. The definition for transitions is a change from one state or condition to another. A course of movement, development, or progress to a different state or condition. Getting back to our Mark chapter 10 passage. Here's this rich young man who comes, and the first thing he does is he acknowledges the greatness of Jesus by coming and falling on his knees before him. And he calls out and he says, "Good teacher." And Jesus responds with, "Why do you call me good?" And some people may be perplexed. Well, Jesus was the epitome of good on this earth. But what Jesus was addressing was the fact that he was just as much human as we are. And that at any time, he too could make a mistake. Praise God, he didn't. But that was all because of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that kept him from making error or making mistake in his life. But what he wanted to do was to get his eyes of this man off of himself and onto the Father, because everything that Jesus did was to bring attention to the Father, was to bring each and every one of us into a right relationship with the good Father. That's why we worship Jesus. You see, there is an order in heaven, and it's God is first. The Son is next in power with him, and the Holy Spirit. And the three of them work together that you and I and others in this world might have a divine relationship with God. Everything points to God. Jesus, the Savior, helps to wash away our sins through the power of his blood. The Holy Spirit is imparted and given to us that we might be able to say no to sin and yes to the things that God calls us to do, which is what is perplexing for this young man. He says, "You know the commandments. What can I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "You know the commandments." And he gives him the list. Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't give false testimony, don't defraud, honor your father and your mother, and all these things I have done since I was a boy. And Jesus looked at him, and I love this part of this scripture passage. Jesus looks at this young man and he felt love for him. Jesus had a love for him because he knew he was doing everything within his empowerment to bring himself into right relationship with God. Except there was this one thing, this one issue. And I would dare say that maybe each and every one of us might have an issue in our life that we might have Jesus call us out on. And the issue in this young man's life is that he worshiped his belongings more than he worshiped God. God doesn't want, some people take this out of context and okay, God just wants us to be a bunch of poor people and be on welfare and relying upon, you know, the government and everything else. No, that's not what God is saying here. What the scripture passage is saying is, do not put your riches before your God. You make anything an idol before God, and God won't have it. God is a jealous God. And he wants no idols. And this young man's richness, his belongings, became his idols. He put those things before his worship of God. Even though he kept all the commandments, he was able to stand in front of Jesus and openly say, I've kept all of these things since I was a boy. But Jesus knows that one thing. What's that one thing going on in your life? What are you not letting go of? What are you holding on that you don't think that the blood of Jesus Christ is strong enough to forgive you for? Pastor, you're playing kind of rough this morning. You need another vacation. No, I don't, because I came back exhausted. We're going to morph right into the first point of your outline. Some refuse God's invitation of spiritual transition. Some refuse God's invitation of spiritual transition. Mark chapter 10, verses 21 and 22. Read it with me, please. And looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, one thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. But at these words, his face fell, and he went away grieved, for he was one who owned much property. And I know that you've heard me say it many times, the more you own, the more owns you. This young man, and please do not wrongly take this, God is not looking for a bunch of poor people to have to take care of. He blesses you with wealth as long as you keep wealth in its place. And do not put your wealth above your relationship with God. I abhor, hate, dislike, strongly, the fact that we have gone away from having what we used to call blue days. Days when all merchandising was shut down. And that day was designated as Sunday. We'd be hard-pressed on Sunday to find a gas station that'd be open or a store in the old days, but not anymore. Now commerce happens all the time, and people use that day that's supposed to be set aside for reverence unto God for any and every activity that they can think of. In fact, one of the things that I'm really getting upset with is our Little League, our children's athletic programs that are promoting tournaments even on Sundays. In fact, even our adults are promoting having tournaments even on Sundays. It didn't used to be that way. God used to have a day that was revered as only unto him, but we have just kind of washed over that because we should just do whatever we feel like on our days off. Should we just have a day that we just set aside as onto God and God alone? You know what? It's been proven that it's good for you to do such a thing. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. But this is the one thing that Jesus calls this young man out. One thing you lack. What would that one thing be if Jesus would talk to you today? What's that one thing that you lack? Is it full trust that God will take care of you? I don't know what you deal with in life. I don't know what each and every one of you are going through, but I do know that all of us are going through decisions each and every day. What's the one thing you lack? It's not that Jesus was trying to tell this man, become a pauper. What he's telling him is to bless others with your wealth. You see, there's so many people built up in this American system that we have, a free enterprise, that we are trying to amass greater amounts of wealth, and we build bigger homes that are, you know, oh. Suzanne and I, while we were on our vacation, we took the 17-mile drive, Pebble Beach, Spyglass, Spanish Bay, three golf courses that overlook the ocean and just have these forests. And in between all this are these humongous homes. And you don't have to drive there. You can drive around Prescott. In fact, one of the things that appalled me years ago when we lived up here in the early 90s and this home was being built just a few lots down from where we were staying, and I went over and I happened to talk to the man who was going to be the owner of this home. And I said, wow, that's one big house you're building.
Yeah, yeah.
You must have an army for a family. You guys must be huge. And he looked at me very strange. He, no, it's just my wife and I. It's just your wife? I'm like, whoa. How many square feet is this monster? Oh, it's going to be 3,500 square feet. I'm going to have my own shop, my man cave down in the bottom. Be able to park my motorcycle, my quad, all my toys, my tools, everything will be in there. Bottom half is mine. Top half, hers. Bottom, mine. Like, if you don't get along with her that well, maybe you need counseling. I used to play hide and go seek in small areas. But people build up these big homes, and only two people are living in them. And we have people that are homeless. People out on the streets. Why should this be? When these people have all this room, share your wealth. In fact, isn't that one of the teachings of the difference between being a sheep and a goat? Is if you have room, invite strangers into your home. For you don't know if you're not entertaining angels. One thing you lack, Jesus said. Some refuse God's invitation of spiritual transition. But we can't refuse our physical transitions throughout life. As we age and get older, there are a lot more things that I can't do that I used to do. My mind is still trying to write the check that my body cannot cash. It was like a guy that recently joined a tennis country club. And this other person said, well, what's that like? And they're like, oh man, it's awesome. You know, I'm up at the net. You know, first I serve and then I rush the net. And then I have to run back for the lob and I put down an ace and boom, I get the point. The guy says, wow, that sounds fantastic. The guy says, yeah, if only my body could keep up with all those thoughts. Some refuse God's invitation of spiritual transition. At these words, this young man's face fell, and he went away grieved, for he was one who owned much property. Do you treasure the things that you own more than you treasure your relationship with God? Is your relationship with God growing as much as your assets are? Just a question. I honestly don't care how much money you got in the bank. And guess what? God doesn't either. The only thing he cares about is the fact that you are using it to further his kingdom. And that was the issue with this young man. Jesus was trying to get him to understand, God has helped you become wealthy. Now use your wealth to further the Father's kingdom, not just to prosper yourself. And that's a healthy mindset toward wealth. It's not about what you can accumulate. It's not the one with the most toys at the end wins. You're not going to take any of your toys with you to the grave. Instead, share them graciously. Point number two. Difficulty arises in sight to faith transitions. Difficulty arises in sight to faith transitions. Any of you ever tried to teach a child how to ride a bike? Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, my girls were already, you know, past that stage when I was their father, or I became their father. But God blessed me with a granddaughter. My first grandchild, and of course I did not spoil her. But I loved, you know, the fact that we had gotten her first bike and it had the training wheels on it, and boy, I mean, she could just scream down those sidewalks faster than what grandpa could run. And so I would be on my bike instead, you know, and she'd be riding along with her training wheels and look at me without training wheels just going, that's pretty cool, Grandpa. And you're not falling over? You know, I said, you know what, honey? I'd like to help you make that transition from training wheels to just two wheels. Oh, Grandpa, I can't do that. That looks way too hard for me. And I go, no, sweetie, honestly, it's within your skill sets, but you've just got to have faith. You can't keep your eyes back there looking at your training wheels. You got to keep them forward. You got to keep pedaling forward. And when trouble comes, put the brakes on. That's it. That's all you have to think about. Oh, Grandpa, that's a lot. I don't know. I said, yeah. I said, you know what? Let's go back. Let's take those training wheels off. Oh, Grandpa, I don't know. You know, there was a real battle of sight to faith transition with my granddaughter. But I was able to take training wheels off. And remember, I've told you, I am not mechanically minded. I'm great at taking things apart. So I gave the bad news to my granddaughter. Honey, I'm going to take these things off. Grandpa's unable to put them back on because I get lost. What? Sight to faith transition was tough for my granddaughter, but I took her out. She got on her bike. I said, now remember, you pedal, you keep going forward. When you get in trouble, put your pedal back. Put your foot down on the ground. You won't fall. It's all good. It'll be just like you had your training wheels. Just keep your handlebars going straight. Don't let them wobble all over the place. Just keep them straight and go forward. It's the same thing God would tell us. Stop letting your walk wobble all over the place. Walk true with him. Don't keep looking back, seeing if you've got the training wheels on still. But instead, follow the simple instructions that God gives you to love him with everything that you are. It's a simple transition, but it takes one of great faith to totally believe in everything that the Lord has told you. And yet, if you do, I guarantee you, it's the greatest walk and the greatest freedom that you will ever experience in your life. Now, for a little while, Grandpa ran behind the bike, holding on. Sweetie, you got it? No, you got to keep the steering wheel straight, honey. Okay, you're doing good. Now, okay, I want you to stop. A curb's coming up. Stop. You ready? Stop. And she put the brakes on. And I kept holding her. And I said, okay, now just dismount from your bike. And we turned it around. I said, now we're going to go back to the house. And she got up and she goes, Grandpa, you got a hold of me? Yes, I do, sweetie. Yes, I do. And so we started off and Grandpa's back there. And then all of a sudden, Grandpa's getting gassed. It's time to let go. And besides that, she'd gotten past all the rock and cactus gardens. And she is now in the grassy areas. And I let go, and she's riding along. She, Grandpa? Yes, honey. Grandpa? Where are you? I'm right here, honey. I'm right there. But you're doing it by yourself, sweetie. You see, God will never leave us or forsake us. Grandpas do. We're only human. But difficulty arises in sight to faith transitions. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. You see, that's the great definition of what faith really is. It's being sure of what we hope for. Are you sure of your eternal life? It's not based on what you do. Your eternal life is based upon what Jesus has done for you. And your faith needs to be in him, not in your actions or what you do, your deeds. Your hope is that Jesus Christ has paid the price for your sins. And that is your entry ticket into eternal life. Amen? We're certain of what we do not see. I haven't seen heaven yet. Oh, I've had moments when I've seen people love each other, when I've seen a great peace, when I've seen the presence of God move, but I haven't experienced just pure, unadulterated heaven. But someday I will, because I have faith that I'm going to go there. Mark chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus answered and said to them, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Do not be wrapped up in the riches of this world. Instead, be wrapped up in the riches of the grace of God. Amen. And your last point. God rewards those who choose spiritual transition. God rewards those who choose spiritual transition. Yeah, how do you reward us, Lord? Well, Mark chapter 10, verse 29, Jesus said, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he shall receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and children and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Now, I want you to go up and underline. This is what you leave those things for. This is the righteous reason for leaving any of those things, for my sake and for the gospel's sake. That is the one and only reason why you would leave house, brothers, sisters, mother, father, children, or farms, is if the Lord directs you to do such things. You see, our life is no longer directed by what I choose to do and what I choose to think is best to do. Rather, my life is now in His hands, and He tells me what I'm to leave and what I'm to gain. It's all about His control and my lack of. And that is such a difficult transition for so many of us. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
And yet, when you give God complete control of your life, hang on. Because He's got an adventure for you. And guess what? If you do those things, persecution will follow. Because the world doesn't understand people that give themselves completely over to God, who give themselves completely over to the Word and to the study of it, and to their lives being a testimony of what God has done in their life and how God has changed them. But for those who will give it up and who will follow after His will for His sake and for the sake of spreading the gospel. And we can think about that and think, well, missionaries are the epitome of that right there. They've left all those things to go to the missionary field to take the gospel into people who have never heard about their Lord Jesus Christ before. But guess what? You don't have to go overseas. You don't have to go to another country. You can just go to the neighbor next door. You can speak to that cashier who is so frazzled at the grocery store. You can speak to that server as you go to the restaurant to have lunch, who's so jammed with all this church crowd all of a sudden bombing in on the restaurant, who leave pennies for tips but demand everything. And it shouldn't be. I'm not saying reward bad service, but please reward good service. These people are in a world of hurt, otherwise they wouldn't be doing a service job like that. Amen? And especially for those of you who have been in a service business, you know that that tip is just a little appreciation for what they have done for you. And just as we reward, God rewards those who choose spiritual transition. This is a transition Sunday. As we're kind of finishing up and beginning next Sunday, I am going to be expositorially going through the book of Acts. This is where I feel that God has been leading me as a pastor to take our church, because the book of Acts is such an important book. It's unique in its writing because it is a historical accounting of the very beginning of the church. So next week, we're going to take off in the book of Acts. And it's going to be a wonderful adventure together. Physical transition happens throughout life. God desires us to make spiritual transition. Are you there with God? Are you giving him full control? Or is there that one thing that you're holding back? God won't strive with you about it. You've got to completely give yourself over to him and do it God's way. You can't have it your way and his way. It's Yahweh's. In his way only. I sense that there are people here who are having that struggle this morning. That you're not quite sure that this God thing is really everything that Pastor has said that it is, but trust me, it is. And what you need to do, my friends, is to get out of that sight walk and get into the faith walk. Walk by faith, not by sight. Be like my little granddaughter. Just keep pedaling forward, knowing that God's always there. Loving Heavenly Father, you know the hearts and the minds of each and every person that's here today. You know the things that they're struggling with letting go of. But Father, through the power of your Holy Spirit that lives within us, would you help us to release this one thing back to you? To allow your knowledge, your wisdom, your strength, your guidance, and as Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, that we would get to the point where we trust in you with all of our heart, and that we lean not on our own understanding, but in everything we acknowledge you and let you direct our path. Father, help us to let go this morning. Help us to let go. In Jesus' name, amen. One more point. This just came to me as I was praying. There was a man that was trying to get down into this well. And it was a deep well, and there was a rope that went down to it. And he was trying to get down to it because the bucket could no longer get all the way down into the water and get water. But he knew, you know, he threw a rock over there, and so he could hear that there was water down there. And so he went down, and he started climbing down the rope. And as he got down there, and he could feel the end of the rope, he couldn't feel anything down below him yet. And it was dark. I mean, you know, he had climbed down so far, and he realized that he didn't have the strength to climb back up. And he kept holding on to that rope, and he kept holding on to the rope, and he finally called out to God, and he says, God, you know, what do I do? And the voice came back very strongly, let go. And the man looked up at the top of the well, and he goes, is there another voice up there that I could hear? And the voice again said, let go. And the man held on and he held on. And finally, there was an aching in his hands. And he knew that, you know, his arms were just burning by hanging on. And he knew, okay, it's going to be inevitable. I'm just going to let go and I'm going to drop. And he let go. And he dropped a whole 6 inches. Some of you are like that man holding on to that rope. You won't let go. You won't trust that God has you. And yet he's got you. Let go. Let him have his way in you. Not for me. For his glory. Live your life for his glory.